speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
Tonight, we are blessed to be able to look into God's Word with various questions that have been submitted. And as always, we want to answer the questions not just in a very basic way, but rather to go to the Bible and to see exactly what God has to say. The next question for consideration tonight comes from the context of Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 39. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, verses 13 through 39. And we will not cover all of the context leading up to verse 18, so I want to challenge each one to read Romans 8, verses 1 through 17, because there is much confusion in the religious world on the indwelling of the Spirit. And Romans chapter 8 is a go-to, quote-unquote, proof text that those who believe in a literal indwelling of the Spirit, they say that this is a support for what they believe there. Romans 8, 1 through 17. Friends, if you read the context, it's not a support for a literal indwelling of the Spirit, but rather, according to our walk of life, if we walk in the Spirit, Paul sets that up in the context. So read and study the first 17 verses on your own at home, and if you've got any questions, by all means, please come back and talk to me. Specifically, how does Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 39, prove that we are more than conquerors? How is this possible? What does the context reveal? Our suffering in life will be worth everything. Paul begins that by saying in verse 18, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He's speaking with reference to the coming of Christ. And anything that we go through in this life personally, anything that we go through in this life collectively, he says that it pales in comparison and that it's all going to be worth it all for the glories that God has bestowed or laid up for us in the end whenever Jesus Christ comes. Christ, or our hope in Christ, will be realized in His coming. Today, we speak to individuals, and sometimes even members of the church, where that we say, "Are you going to heaven?" And the answer usually that we receive across the board, people say, "I hope so." I want to encourage each and every one of us as Christians that we read and study the Scripture as in depth as what we possibly can, and then we do all that is within our power to do to apply it to our lives and to live as close to Christ as what we possibly can, and get rid of that mindset of "I hope" to say, "I'm going to heaven." Because if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God, and hence we can have an assurance of our salvation. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, I believe it is, John in writing that says, "I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life." So our hope as a Christian, and the Bible does speak about our hope, is hope with anticipation. So that's the assurance of our salvation as long as we live faithful before God. When will that be realized? Paul points out in verses 24 and 25, whenever Jesus Christ our Lord returns. Paul also points out in this context, according to what we find in verses 26 through 30, is that our God's plan is complete from beginning to end. In this, what is he saying? He says, if we know what God's plan is, and if we are obedient to God's plan, we are justified in the sight of God, and God knows that in the eternal realm, already given or done deal. In regard to this then, how does all that fit into His plan? We are the elect of God. We are the predestined of God, based out of the fact that the plan is predestined instead of the man. And what I mean by all of that is that if we come in compliance with His plan in Christ, then we are a part of that predestined group. And it's not the man who is predestined, but the plan. And so therefore, everyone who is in the plan, by their love for God and obedience, we are set on a course for heaven. And God's plan, with reference to all of that, is complete from beginning to end. Our salvation, cannot be torn from us by others. That's what Paul is saying, in part, about what we read in verses 31 through verse 39. I can't take your salvation from you. You can't take my salvation from me. No one out here in the world can take our salvation from us. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean that we can't lose it, because we can walk away from God. I said this morning, and I will restate it again tonight, many have, and sadly, many will. But yet at the same time, God makes it very clear through the words of the Apostle Paul here and in the broader context of New Testament Scripture, is that no one is going to be able to personally remove us from the love of God. Now, Satan is working behind the scenes to do that, and we need to be on guard for Satan. And as a result then of our walking faithful before God, Paul says is that we, or Christians, are more than conquerors. The overall context, this hope that we have as Christians serves as an anchor for the soul. The Hebrews writer reminds us of this in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor, so steadfast and sure. And to that we say amen as Christians. So how are we more than conquerors? By obeying Christ and living faithfully before God each and every day. And as a result of that, we can go through life joyfully and with anticipation of the return of our Lord someday.